Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here with another In Our Round Table series. I'm talking about quiet clients. How do we manage quiet clients? Those clients that may have been very active clients in the past and now for whatever reason, time, or just changing their own circumstances, I mean, they're quieter. We don't hear as much for them, or we might perceive we're not doing much for them. Keeping these clients tethered to the firm and with being constructive for the client and also constructive for the firm gets difficult, particularly as firms grow. The expectations we set 2 or 3 years ago might be more and more difficult to deliver upon as people that made promises 2 or 3 years ago get busier and busier. How do we do it? That's what this session is about. Check it out. The concept of the quiet client, and with obviously everything we've been through the last 2 or 3 years with compliance measures, with servicing the clients, with fulfilling on promises, how do we manage this big, and I used to use the aircraft analogy here, this big long back end of the clients that have been for a while, and for a whole host of reasons, we want to maintain some contact with them. And that's really crucial to how we then make sure we can fulfill some promises that we may have made to some of these people. And some of them may have been there when no one else was there back in the early days. These were the clients that we started to build our business upon. And now they've gone for a whole host of reasons, particularly we've actually taken a lot of the complexity out of the clients' lives. We still want to maintain those promises. But you also, as a team and a firm, want to improve our productivity. And having the bigger and bigger the client base gets, we want to make sure we're handling it in a productive, consistent, methodical way that it's ensuring we're building not just more and more clients, but more and more revenue, more and more productivity, which out without weighing down on the lifestyles of the team and the founders to actually maintain this growing list of clients satisfied. And we also, for a whole host of other reasons, may wish to maintain connections. And I think, too, it's important to note right off the bat that those of us in provincial, rural, regional areas have a much harder time with this quiet client because we're not as much choice for some of the clients that maybe one day were terrifically active and now maybe not. As we do each time, just remember, I've got a real strong bias around this proposition in that I truly believe that fundamental advice moving forward, and what we're talking about is this Plato principle that the cure of a part of someone's life shouldn't be attempted without the treatment of the whole. So it's comprehensive advice. And we think this model best addresses the best interest of the whole client. However, there comes a time that when we go through with the client's life, how long do we keep the client on board with they may already be looked after. We might not need them to do more and more stuff for them. So coming back to Nicole's question, I just want to present a framework to talk about the rest of this conversation about who are the quiet clients. And so our model, that those may know it, we talk about a segmentation structure where we're segmenting the advice under management, not the product under management, the advice under management. From where we're delivering only one, maybe one service, we might just be looking after their super, we might just be looking after their cash flow, we might have just done some information on their investments or just be doing insurance, or we might just be doing their tax. Through to some clients, we're doing everything for them. We are considered this total comprehensive, and although all clients, not many clients are walking in for the whole job, we find that to service the best interest of the client, we're taking them across from left to right. And then the vertical is simply how complex is the issue, how complex are the things that we're doing to help the client with. And then we segregate these models into the, so the top left where we're doing one or two things, maybe just the risk or the super or the underwriting or maybe just a bit of the estate, it's a specialist role where there's a lot of complexity. Whereas the bottom left is the supplier role, where they're only doing simple rollovers, simple tax, simple cash flows, simple investments if there is such a thing, and they're the supplier clients. Or we have taken the complexity out of the client's life and they only need one service and it's pretty simple to do. But we're not across the whole of the client's life. And over the right-hand side here, we have the manager client where it's not very complex, where they either remove that, and we have the principal client. And so trying to define who are the quiet clients in all this, we would still say that 10% of the base is always going to sit up here. Even for those that say, I'm doing multiple stuff for all my clients, I still say that 10% of the base has one or two less services than the rest of the base. And so same here with suppliers, we'd say 20% of the client base is probably sitting in this supplier base, where we've got one or two services that are still active, or one or two products that we've actually provided to them. But there's not a lot of complexity. The bulk of the clients are hopefully sitting over here in the manager, and the 10% of the clients are sitting up here in the principal client. And one thing is that we want to be clear upon is what we're not talking about here with quiet clients is what I call the pro bono. And so there's a class of clients that even if they paid you no money at all, you'd still look after them, you'd still be there for them. And I don't think that's the client with potential. I think that's the client that if you weren't in their life, their life financially would be much worse off. And so you're making a decision to keep looking after that client, not for long-term gain or benefit, or the sons or daughters of a client that may develop into something. That's not pro bono. These are for clients who, without your involvement, they're not going to get any advancement in their lives whatsoever. And even if you weren't paid anything, you'll still be looking after that client. That's not a quiet client. That's a pro bono client. But so for the conversation today, I want to start this so that anyone on this side of the base, if we're considering them to be quiet, this is the conversation I want to have about where we are still the comprehensive advisor. We're really understanding everything about the client better than the client understands themselves. And so do these people consider to be quiet clients as compared to someone over this side of the base where we don't know everything about the client? We do know they've bought a product or a service, or that's all we perceive that they want from us at this stage. They're not in a position to take advice or seek advice. And so we keep them on the left-hand side of the mark of the base. Someone on this right-hand side of the base compared to someone on the left-hand side, these people are on paths, whereas these people are in products. And we would challenge pretty strongly that anyone on this right-hand side on the grid behind me that's on a path, they've got to pay, we believe, some sort of access price, something to get access to us, because these people are buying a no surprises approach to their financial life, whether it's complex at the top or this is low complexity at the bottom. And so anyone that's in that area, either high or low complexity, who are on a path, and you are providing the leadership, you're providing the direction, you're providing expertise, you're providing capability, then they pay some sort of access fee. They don't go, they may be quieter, so you might have some down the bottom here that are quieter, but they're still paying some sort of access fee. And so these clients over here in product area, you're not totally across everything in their financial life. So I think this, as we say, 10% up here, 20% up here, 10% up here, but 60% up here, there are solutions like what Nigel's building in Scientium to look after this very, very bottom end of the base. We would generally say that this base over here, this is a tougher base, particularly in regional provincial Australia, where they may have bought one or two products a long time ago. We are not across their whole path. They don't come to us expecting us to have this path in place for them. They just know that we've got investments or insurances in the place. And what do we do with these quiet clients, particularly when there's no other solutions in the local area for us to look after them? The key thing for me behind all this is pricing and confidence on pricing to have access to a firm that can put people on the paths. I think one of the key problems about the old industry is it had a really, really hard time trying to identify the value for this base. And we would say that most people haven't been sold on a path, they've been sold into a product. And it's up to the industry to determine. And there are some clients that do not want paths. They are on their own path. I don't need any advice, won't take any advice. I just want to make sure I'm in the best possible product. That's less than 20% though. I think the industry is that we need to, our challenge is we need to define what is access price to someone that knows their financial life better than them, and then testing, are they willing to pay that price to get access to someone that can keep them on their best possible path, even if there's nothing to do. The concept in the client's eyes, I think the concept is, what do we do for these people? And in some ways, this role over here, it's more who the role we are playing and who we are being for the client when the client does, and we have to make sure we're on top of their financial life. And I use the analogy, it's like a golf club. Even if I don't play 5 times a year, 50 times a year, having access to someone that's totally on top of everything in my financial life, knowing what's going on with the markets, going on with the changes in legislation, regulations, going on with the changes in economies, you are ensuring, even if I don't see you, I'm not doing much, but I'm making sure I'm everything about my life and situation. And if I think something might change, I need to get you in. And I think this role of having access to someone that's invisibly sometimes controlling the path, as long as it's not fee for no service back in the old days, then that deserves to be paying some sort of access price. It's not based upon what you do, it's the role you bring. I think for most, the majority of Australians, we can take the technical complexity of their lives, but they've still got the ongoing situational complexities or circumstances that come up or behaviours that keep them off their best possible path. And so every 2 or 3 years, whether it's a health issue or a change in circumstance or a change in job or a change in earnings or a change in regulations affecting a change in pension, there's still stuff that they want someone to go back to. And in the past, they came back to someone who would then make some sort of recommendation based upon a trail of a product. And this is now I just want to get access to someone who's getting paid to maintain a relationship. And so I think if we take all the complexity out, all the relationship, behavioral, circumstantial, situational, and technical complexity, yeah, we put them in a quiet file. But if someone still sees the value on, it's like having access to a doctor that's maintaining and ensuring that everything's in place. And yeah, I get that the doctor's not charging fees every single year like we need to charge fees for getting access to us. But for us to be ensuring they are on that best possible path and still aware of all the other circumstances in life, what do we need to pay to get access apart from pro bono?
Yeah, but if you set people up and they don't need you anymore.
If you're saying I don't need them at all, they can go off and then they'll come back at some point in life. And as they're saying, yeah, we don't need you. We don't have any that sort of complexity. We don't have anything in our lives that you come and satisfy for us on a regular basis or on an irregular basis, but you're there for us. Yeah, yeah, I totally get it.
Said to us before that clients aren't for life any longer.
No, they're for value. As long as it's value for both sides in the party. Absolutely. I don't expect to have a client for life. At the moment, with what I've seen with most industries and firms I'm working with, is we're just getting so busy. And busyness needs to be managed by selecting who we work with and who we can't and who we can keep a file open with and who we can't. It just doesn't make any sense for us to keep all the files open for all the clients we've ever had if we want to maintain productivity growth. There you go, quiet clients. What do you think? Who are quiet clients is a really important part. And I think the essence of the whole conversation is to maintain that conversation with your own team about where do clients fit? Are they the bottom of these clients over here where you do know everything about them and their financial lives? And more firms like Nigel Baker, Scientium, a link to him and his firm and his offering will be in the show notes of this particular file. I think the more and more services will be available like Nigel's to handle those to who we have put them on a path, and for whatever reason, it's that managing that path doesn't require as much work. Others will be over here where we only bought and sold one or two products. We were the specialist. We don't need to be the specialist anymore. We don't need to provide that services. And like a medical specialist, I don't expect to see them or have them back in again until they have another specialist issue to treat. And I think this area may be treated by more and more services provided by maybe that robo-advice area. The managing quiet clients is vital to manage productivity within the firm. But this fundamental difference, who will pay access to maintain a path, not based upon what we're doing, but who we're being for our clients in the client's eyes, and who will maintain any form of access to simply keep us in the right products. And this conversation dynamic needs to be driven by, I think, a grid like this. Anyway, keen to get your thoughts on this. How are you evolving? How are you developing? And if you've got any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. Jim Stackpole, signing out. Good luck managing your quiet clients. Cheers for now.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions, and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.